It's Luke 23, verses 27 to 31. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Beloved Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sometimes we might wonder, or we have to explain to our children why we call this Friday good. After all that we read together, you see, our Lord Jesus, though innocent, mocked by the guards and beaten and blindfolded and hit and taunted to prophesy, you see him being mocked with a purple robe and a crown of thorns, being beat with a staff and spit upon. They then led him away to be crucified, and could see in verse 26 he was too weak to even carry the cross beam of his own cross. They had to call Simon of Cyrene to do that for him. As we read through this, the message in it all is the curse of God against his Son Jesus Christ, the curse of men. So our Lord Jesus made his way to the cross, and all we hear on this Good Friday in the reading is the resounding shout, "Jesus, you are unworthy, you are unable, you are cursed, you are sin itself, every right is taken from you." And when our Lord Jesus was led to the place called the Skull or Golgotha, burdened by the rejection of God, we read in our text that there was a crowd of people following him. And whether they were supporters or they were just curious, we're not told. But among the crowd following Jesus is a distinguishable group of women who were beating their breasts and crying out in grief. And Jesus calls these women the daughters of Jerusalem to distinguish them from the women from Galilee that are mentioned later in the chapter. And then, while he is still a green tree with some life in him, in his compassion, in the midst of all that suffering, in his compassion for the mourners, he preached a final sermon, a sermon filled with hope and warning for the church. On this Good Friday, I preach this gospel to you under the theme that Christ assures the mourners that his crucifixion is a good thing, telling us not to weep for Christ who bore God's wrath for us, but to weep for those who remain under God's wrath. Now, we may be surprised if you have your Bibles open. You can read the words there yourself in verse 28. You may be surprised at the first words that Jesus speaks. "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me." That doesn't appear to make any sense to these women who know him as that Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph and Mary. And look at the suffering that man is enduring. He's a man condemned by his own people, a man condemned by the Roman government. The women of Jerusalem were weeping because they saw one of their own people receiving the full brunt of the anger of man and of God. The horror of the curse that Jesus bore and the magnitude of his suffering were unbearable for these women to watch. They could not see any good in his condemnation to death. They felt pity for him as a man. Poor Jesus, I wish he didn't have to go through all this. But their mourning, and their lamenting, their wish that he didn't have to go through all this shows a misunderstanding of Christ's sacrifice, shows their ignorance. God was testing the depth of Christ's self-sacrificial love by adding the pity of these ignorant women to his suffering. In their weeping, Satan was tempting our Lord Jesus to focus on self-pity rather than to focus on the will of his Father. It was no relief for Jesus to hear these women weeping. It was not a voice of comfort in his suffering. Jesus had no one to turn to on his way to the cross. The ignorance of mankind surrounded him in the midst of his God-forsakenness. It's in this context that we begin to understand our Lord Jesus' response to their weeping. It wasn't a weak attempt to sound heroic. It was an answer that was given to him by an obedient, given in faith by an obedient son. His answer reveals the uniqueness of his character. He was not just Jesus of Nazareth, the Jew, but he was the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Son of God Most High. Jesus knew the scriptures. Christ knew that he had to drink the cup of God's wrath. That's why he came. Christ was in his office. It was necessary for him to suffer. It was necessary for him to be condemned by the Almighty God, to endure this forsakenness of his Father that we sang about in Psalm 22. To weep for Jesus was to ignore that Christ had every ability to stop the suffering. But he was there because that was his calling. Weeping for Jesus and wishing he didn't suffer anymore was the same thing as all that mockery that he was hearing around him when he was on the cross, when people were urging him, come down from the cross if you're the Christ. The mourners needed to learn that God's solution for our sin was good. Yes, it's terrible to see, to think about. The cup of God's wrath is terrifying. The mockery that our Lord Jesus bore is unbearable to think about, the mental anguish unspeakable. But Jesus also knew the prophecy that this suffering was not the end for him. Jesus was walking toward the cross resolutely, determined to satisfy the justice of God. Jesus knew his Father in heaven. He also knew that he was the King who would reign forever on the throne of David. And the two ideas had to come together. This hell was one step on the road that God's faithful Son walked on. He was walking in obedience to the will of his Father. He was safe in his faithfulness to God Almighty. The tears of the daughters of Jerusalem were showing that they didn't understand the gospel of his obedience, the purpose of his suffering, the eternal blessing of belonging to a son who bore God's wrath for us and in our place, the certainty of his victory over death and the grave. Our Lord Jesus wants us to know and believe that his crucifixion is a good thing. We can hear it in those words, do not weep for me. Do not weep for Christ, but be filled with awe and wonder at the fullness of the love of God for you, manifest in his sacrifice. Do not weep because Jesus Christ loves you so much that he died for your sins according to the promise of God in the scriptures. We can see the confidence in Jesus' words. His trust in his Father was unwavering. Our Lord knew that although the anger of his Father against our sins was on pouring down upon his back, so that he was crushed and beaten and mocked and humiliated and rejected and cursed, this was the plan that he himself had made when he gave himself for his church. Do not weep because of his love. Through it all and behind it all, there is God. Seeing Christ in his suffering, our Lord Jesus wants us to see the love of our Father, the unchanging God, the covenant God. That's why we call it Good Friday. The Church of Christ on earth must imitate their Savior's trust and confidence in God's unfailing love toward all who are faithful before Him. Although we will never have to suffer the complete rejection of the Father, never have to stand under the curse of God Almighty, because Jesus Christ has done this for us and in our place, there are times in our lives when we will feel condemned because of our faith. There will be a tendency to feel sorry for ourselves, perhaps even to lose heart. Maybe we weep for Christ's church in her great suffering, feel pity for those who have to pay for faithfulness with their lives or livelihood. And then these words that our Lord Jesus speaks come to our mind. He said, "Do not weep for me. Do not weep because faithfulness to God's will brings suffering." Jesus knew that that suffering came to an end. He knew that he would remain faithful in all things. So he tells the church, "Do not weep for me." Part of that is also his body, the church. Do not weep for his body in her suffering, in her faithfulness. Because she is given eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because the suffering is momentary compared to the surpassing greatness of living in the presence of God forever. We could be assured that God will never leave those who remain faithful out of his sight. When the church is faithful, when the church is obedient, when the church is walking in the will of her Father in heaven, we may be comforted to know that she is in God's plan, in God's care, in God's love. And the Lord Jesus does recognize that though we need not weep for him in his faithfulness and in his love, there is still a great sadness in the situation that surrounds him. Though we need not be weeping for him, there still is a reason to weep. While he is on the earth, the wood has some life in it. While he is counted among the covenant children of Israel, the wood can still be said to be green. But what if he and all who believe in him are pushed out of the people of Israel? And assuring the daughters of Jerusalem concerning who he is, Jesus yet shows how this fact makes it all the more necessary to weep for the men and women who want him gone, who want him dead. You see that in our second point, for he tells us to weep for those who remain under God's wrath. Jesus tells these daughters of Jerusalem not to weep for him, but to weep for themselves and for their children. That's verse 28. Jesus was making it clear that the greatest concern at that time, the greatest sorrow at that time, was not what was happening to him, but what others were doing. And he is filled with such concern for those who were showing this hatred to him. His heart was going out to the fathers of Jerusalem because of what they were doing. And although to the outside observer, Jesus' situation looked worse in terms of what he was experiencing physically, Jesus was obediently doing what his Father would have him to do. But the Jewish leaders and the people, together with the Romans, were seeking to kill their very own deliverer, to crush the gift that God has given to the world. They had rejected the substitute that God had sent to bear their punishment under God's wrath for them. And so where did that leave them? But exposed themselves to God's wrath. When the people of Israel were crying or were crucifying their Lord and Deliverer, they had cried out, "His blood be on us and on our children." They had challenged God to hold the covenant people accountable for what they did to Christ. This brought our Lord Jesus great sorrow because he knew the faithfulness of God to his covenant. He knew that God is faithful to his promises, but also faithful to curses for disobedience. The message was already clearly announced in the prophecy of Hosea. God had told that the people, when they turn from the Lord and choose to serve idols, there will be suffering. And Hosea 10 verse 8 says, "People will cry out to the mountains to fall on them and the hills to cover them." There are consequences for rejecting the Lord. There are horrible consequences. Our Lord Jesus already announced them too, as if you have your Bibles open, you can flip back a few pages to see some of the prophecies. The first is to Luke 19, verses 41 to 44. Luke 19, verses 41 to 44. Here's a description of our Lord Jesus weeping over the city. He says, "Days will come when enemies will set up a barricade around you, surround you, tear you down. They'll not leave one stone upon another." And if you flip back forward to Luke 21, verses 20 to 24, again, there you see it. Jesus foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem, people fleeing to the mountains, verse 23. "Alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing, they will fall by the edge of the sword." You see, the Lord Jesus had told this people the consequences of rejecting their deliverer, of remaining under the burden of God's wrath. And then now here in his final sermon to the people of Jerusalem, he repeats the warning. It's in our text in verses 29 and 30. "For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' When the Romans came in 70 AD and wiped out the city of Jerusalem, it was a terrible time for the people of Israel. Mothers saw their children dashed against the rocks. The blessing of having children became a curse because of the sorrow it brought to all those who were under this wrath of God. They had rejected their God, and Jesus saw this punishment as he was walking to Golgotha. He was brought in to clear relief. In his mind, he could see that the suffering was coming was an unnecessary suffering for those who would believe in him. For that is why he came. He came to bear that punishment. He came to bear that wrath of God. If they rejected his work, if we persist in rejecting him as Lord, it leaves God's wrath on our shoulders to bear for ourselves. That's why Jesus prayed for the forgiveness of their sins. You see why our Lord Jesus told us to weep for those who reject what he has accomplished that we celebrate today on Good Friday. To weep for those who reject him. For their end would be worse and it would last forever. And then we see how our Lord Jesus' words apply to us today. See how Jesus' words remind us that we gather here not just to remember something that happened long ago as if it doesn't matter today. But he really bore the punishment against our sins that we deserve. And outside of him, there is no salvation. And we weep for the sins that we commit that made this sacrifice necessary. We weep for those times when we persist in sins against Jesus Christ and so reject his work for us. We have a feeling of sorrow for those who do not believe in him. Maybe even sitting among the covenant people of God for whom Jesus told us to weep. Now the judgment on Jerusalem has passed, and the judgment on those who crucified their Lord is complete, but it stands as a warning to the children of the covenant for all ages. Hebrews says it so clearly, chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. If you deliberately keep on sinning against God, no sacrifice for sin is left. If you've tasted and seen the gospel, but persist in your own way, it's like crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ all over again. We weep for everyone in the world who believes they can live their lives without this Jesus Christ as their Lord. We weep for those who cling to their sins, who refuse the reconciliation and peace with God through Jesus Christ. And we weep because we know that Jesus Christ was obedient to his Father, that he bore the curse that we all deserve for our sins. We're not sad that God sent his Son to die on a cross for our sins. We do not weep for the love of God or for the work that Christ accomplished, but we are sad for those who reject this payment for sins and will have to face the judgment of God alone and still guilty. These are the people our Lord Jesus was thinking of on his way to the cross, when he bore the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race. For his suffering and his death could save them from God's wrath if they only believe that he was their Savior and Lord. That's the gospel of Good Friday. That's the good news that we believe and that we cling to. He died under God's wrath so that we do not have to. He was obedient even to death. He did not waver, though he was being tempted to feel sorry for himself, to save himself. And we can be assured of the complete forgiveness of all our sins, that we will never need to be punished for our sins. We never need to bear the wrath of God for our pride. Because Jesus came to do that for us. Amen.